We're here today with Steve Herbert, the President and Chief Operating Officer of USA Technologies Incorporated. USA Technologies is one of the most established players in the cashless vending business. They've been at it for quite a while. They've been involved in developing systems and testing them with vending operators. And as all of the readers and listeners know who've been following Automatic Merchandiser and Vending Market Watch, the cashless segment of the vending industry is really starting to take off. Steve, many vending operators have not yet actually made the commitment to cashless vending. And one question that a lot of them have before they make that investment is they want to know about the financial health of the players. What can you tell me about USA Technologies' financial health?
Well, Elliot, first I'd like to say thanks for having me today. It's an honor to be here, and I've been looking forward to this discussion. And that's a great question. And with your permission, I'll answer that question in two parts. First, directly, you know, as it relates to the financial condition of our company, it's obviously a very reasonable question for a customer to ask in terms of who they're going to partner with, particularly on a service like this, because, you know, it's not like you buy today and then your supplier's gone tomorrow. You're in business together for a long time. So just to get right at it, our company is actually, we believe, in its best position ever financially. Our 9/30 balance sheet showed $5 million in cash. And in addition to that, our quarterly report for 9/30 disclosed the fact that we also have access to a $5 million line that we can pull from. So from a cash perspective, the company is in fine shape. In addition to that, we have a very diverse customer base as a company, so we're not reliant on any one customer, industry, et cetera. And we'll probably talk a little bit more about that later as we talk about the different segments, you know, of, you know, what has now become a more broadly defined vending industry. More importantly, we have an attractive business model and a very healthy business model as a company. We have multiple revenue streams that come from our sales as a company. We make money on selling hardware, devices, and in addition to that, we have recurring fees that go along with the service, the ePort Connect service that we provide. And then we also have licensing revenues as well. So as we build our young company here, we're building it on a very strong financial footing where multiple sources of revenue are coming in. We're never as good as our last sale, I guess is the way one might like to look at it. In addition to that, USA Technologies has essentially no debt. And then finally, the company is in a period of rapid growth. We've doubled our customer base over the past just in the in the vending market. We've doubled our customer base to over 1,200 bottlers and operators on our service over the last year. We've increased the number of transactions we handle to $100 million a year. Which arguably makes us the largest company doing unattended small ticket cashless transactions in the marketplace, going even beyond vending. So the company is experiencing rapid growth as well. So we're very excited about the financial footing that we're on right now.
Okay, can you expand a little bit on your licensing revenues? What exactly does that refer to?
Well, essentially, there are a number of instances where the company has an extensive IP portfolio. We have 79 patents You know, we're getting to the point where we can, you know, we can monetize some of those things. It's not a significant source of revenue, but it will be it will over time, you know, become something that is more and more important to the company. But as of this point, it's minimal. But Elliot, I mentioned that I'd like to answer this question in two parts. Would you mind if I make another
Sure.
comment about customers and how they feel about making these decisions?
Go ahead.
Okay. When I hear a question like this, and this is, you know, it's a great question to start with because it's, you know, it's a question as a small company that we get on many occasions. What customers are really looking for when they're making a decision like this is comfort. They're looking for comfort. They want to be comfortable that they're making the right decision. And one of the reasons for that is that it's a significant change. Elliot, I think you would agree with me that, you know, moving into this arena, into the cashless arena, you know, from a business process perspective and a technology perspective, it's probably the most significant thing to happen in the vending industry over the last quarter century. And people want to be comfortable about who they partner with. That's what we find when we have discussions with customers. And some of the things that come out in these discussions are, you know, actually we think we provide a lot of comfort for our customers in this regard that go well beyond financials. Our solution, as you mentioned in the opening, is a proven solution. We have devices out on vending machines that have been out there for upwards of a decade. So we've been at this a long time. We have 100,000 connections on our service. We just announced that today. So by a very wide margin, we're the market leader. So when someone makes a decision to proceed and they go with us, they know that they're going with the market leader, and there's some comfort in that. In addition to that, we have a significant amount of market intelligence. And in short, one question that always comes up with customers when they're thinking about making this investment is, they're not 100% sure about where they should go with cashless. And our company, because we've been at this for so long, because we have so many points of distribution in the field, we have the luxury of having a tremendous knowledge base in terms of telling our customers exactly where to go, which types of accounts to go to get the greatest return on their cashless investment. So that's another way that I believe we provide comfort as a supplier. And then finally, you know, as the industry moves into what is really a new era in terms of leveraging technology, I think our customers get the benefit, USA Technologies customers get the benefit and the added comfort of our IP portfolio in this space. They, you know, they can make the investment, they can make the installs with at least some comfort, you know, that our company has a lot of the intellectual property in the space and that they're not likely to run up against an IP issue. So I hope that's okay. Elliot, I really think it's important, you know, that customers are comfortable when they make this investment. And we think we offer a lot of comfort, and, you know, that's why we're in the position we are today. I think the marketplace has spoken in that regard.
Okay. Now, the USAT ePort will accept a credit card as well as a bank debit card. What can you say about the amount of debit purchases versus credit purchases?
Well, Elliot, that's a great question. The debit card is a significant, it's very significant in the mix of transactions in our customer base. We expect it to continue to be. So it's a very important part of the mix.
Is it the majority?
I would say that it's the majority at this point.
And why do you think the debit purchasing surpasses the credit purchasing at this point?
Oh, Elliot, I think it's what the card industry people call top of wallet. You've probably heard this before. I think it's, you know, it's just a consumer preference. You know, their debit card is linked directly to their checking account, and that's the card that they keep top of wallet that they make most of their purchases with. I think it's really that simple. The trends in our business as it relates to debit are really not that much different from the trends in overall credit versus debit purchases. Debit has overtaken credit, you know, at a macro level, excuse me, in the payment industry. So we're really no different in the work that we're doing in the vending industry here.
Okay. And just to delve a little further in this area, has your company made any effort to develop a prepaid cashless product, the type that is used in closed settings where a patron can revalue right. the card?
Well, actually, Elliot, we're already in market with a number of different prepaid solutions. So if a customer chooses, you know, if they have an application and they choose to use a prepaid, you know, or closed system, then they can certainly do that with us. And actually, I think, you know, this question points to what I think is a real strength of USA Zport solution. We're really agnostic when it comes to what the form of payment might be. And what I mean by that is we simply want to take what the consumer wants to use to pay. We take credit, we take debit. In addition to that, we also take prepaid. We've taken RF cards. We've done transactions with cell phones. We essentially want to take what consumers want to use. And that's one example of how our system, our ePort system, is really very open, you know, in terms of what our customers might want to do with it.
Okay.
So I'm glad you asked that question.
Yeah, and you've just opened up another area here talking about cell phones. That refers to the mobile payment option, and which is certainly something that's very prevalent in other countries. Is there going to be a big application for mobile payments in the U.S.?
Oh, I think, you know, if you were to read the you know, the trade journals, and I'm sure you have, you know, in this regard, mobile is, you know, is expected to make a strong move. Mobile commerce, paying with cell phones in the United States over the next couple of years. I think recently there was an announcement of a deal between Verizon, AT&T, Discover, and others to bring a mobile solution to market. Visa and MasterCard have their own initiatives in this regard. Google is moving into the space. So, you know, I really do believe that, and we've believed at USA for quite some time, you know, that mobile commerce, you know, is really coming like a freight train. And the vending industry and small ticket unattended in general is believed to be one of the first destinations for these types of transactions. And I believe the way that this will manifest itself first, and we've already done this in market in small quantities, is with the RF sticker that applies to the back of a phone. And one would simply wave their phone in front of a contactless reader and make their purchase and be off to the races. So that I think will be the bridge to software, which is then embedded into phones, and there have been a lot of announcements in this regard, including for the iPhone. This capability, NFC capability, is being OEM'd into the phones now, and many phones are expected to have that capability soon.
Okay.
Now, as it relates to USA Technologies customers, our system's already provisioned. We probably have the largest installed base in America of contactless readers, which are capable of taking these types of transactions. So we're very excited about this development and think that, you know, that the U.S. market is going to be very interesting over the next year or two.
Okay. We're beginning to run out of time, but I did have one other area I wanted to raise. Your company's focus is on wireless and small ticket transactions. And in addition to the vending industry, this has also included laundromats and kiosks and other non-traditional type of applications. What segment do you see as having the greatest potential in the next 5 years?
Well, we believe that the kiosk market is one that, you know, has had significant growth in the past few years and is projected to have very significant growth in the future. So we've spent a lot of time on the kiosk market. We have multiple customers in this regard. It's interesting in that the lines are being blurred, and you know, you certainly know this, the lines are being blurred between what is a kiosk and what is a vending machine. And, you know, it's all really becoming, you know, self-serve retail. But, you know, if one looks at, you know, the growth numbers in kiosk, they really are very significant. And, you know, we have a terrific solution in market called the ePort SDK. That can bring customers to our ePort Connect service. And essentially what they do is install a piece of software on the computer that resides in their kiosk and install a reader. And they, in a turnkey fashion, come back to our service. So we believe that market has significant potential and have very high hopes for it.
Do you have any estimate as to how many kiosks there are at the present time that would be able to take advantage of cashless transactions?
Well, that is a great question. There, you know, there's a lot of data out there. One of the pieces of data that I've seen for kiosk is that there are over 1 million self-serve kiosks in the United States that are, and through these kiosks, some of which are taking payment and some are not. You know, we've all seen kiosks that don't require a form of payment. They just dispense information. But in the best data that I have at my fingertips right now, and this comes from IHL, the market, you know, the data suggests that there are approximately 1 million kiosks moving $775 billion in transactions. So it is a very, very large market. It's somewhat fragmented. There are pieces of that market that USA, as you know, the self-serve unattended experts, you know, we're really not going to play there, such as self-serve checkout and things like that. But there's plenty of opportunity within that space, you know, for us and for everyone in the industry to grow their business in the future.
Okay. All right. Well, Steve, I think we've covered a number of areas. Are there any other points you'd like to make before we conclude?
Well, if I love talking about our business, and thank you for inviting that. There is one other point I'd like to make, and it really goes back to your question about the forms of payment that USA Technologies takes and the ePort service takes. I mentioned that, you know, we take many different forms of payment, but what it really points to, and I think there might be some information out there on USA that isn't 100% correct in the marketplace, as it relates to us having an open system. And I wanted to just comment on that. So not only do we take many different forms of payment as an open system, we have devices from six different manufacturers on our service, plus we have software that people can install on their own OEM devices to get certified on our service. We use two wireless providers. We use two credit card processors. We adhere to the VDI standard, which is an open standard developed with a committee with NAMA. And in addition to that, we do network-to-network communications with some of the companies out there that provide route management for our customers. So we all know the names of those companies. So I think one of the things that I would like the marketplace to know is that our system is indeed a very open system and offers many alternatives for customers in terms of the types of devices they might want to use, in terms of any other systems that they might want to link to for route data and for pre-kitting and things like that. I wanted to make that point because I've read some things that indicate that our system has been characterized as a closed system, and we believe that it's quite the opposite, and that we offer more alternatives for the industry than anyone in terms of how they may choose to implement cashless.
Well, this certainly is a very important and exciting topic, so I hope that all of our readers take the time to listen to this interview in its entirety as we move forward in the very promising world of cashless acceptance and vending machines. Steve, I thank you very much for your time.
Elliot, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.